Conservative? You bet. Controversial? Right again. It's time to squabble on the Jim Benson Show.
So Trump just blocked the new $3 trillion that Biden got passed into the slush fund for being paid out to the Democrat UN NGOs, wrecking our country, launching all the assaults. And then I got another article we'll show you where last year they spent $3.3 trillion of your money to attack you and your family. And a big chunk of it is to cut off carbon, cut off energy, cut off farming, and cut your son's penis off, literally. So we bring the receipts. There it is. All right. Now, you want to see caught red-handed globalist corporate media dirty tricks. You want to know where the $300 million that went to Reuters, that's MI6 on record, to then be handed out to the rest of the corporate media to attack Musk just last year? And that's just what we know of? Trump's about to expose all the rest of what's going on. $3.3 trillion was spent last year of taxpayer money attacking mothers and fathers, attacking school boards, attacking people that don't want DEI or transgenders in the middle school, raping one guy, two girls. Liberal NGOs have become the fifth branch of government, a shadow government. We have tons of information, data, and videos we've made. I was on a site for like an hour this morning on the fraudulent NGOs on the left. View one of the links here. You'll be shocked, and you can go into it and see the AI breakdown. Who is in the Charles Schwab and Vanguard to Fidelity in the Silicon Valley Foundation to the Chinese Progressive Association? That's the funnel they use. To the Tides Foundation, to the 1630 Fund, and a host of other NGOs being funded by you, the taxpayer. That's the key. There are roughly 55,000 of them mapped out in the image here. They have become the fifth branch of government. These corrupt liberal NGOs are using federal taxpayer monies to interfere with our institutions and country. To interfere at all levels to promote the phony crap such as transgenderism, climate change, DEI, COVID vaccine scam, and so on. And then I've got a clip here of Mark Andreessen, who's a super smart billionaire and was in on the meetings where Biden was saying we're going to take over and only have one AI and all that, and Sam Altman behind it. He's talking about, in this clip I've got, about how Larry Fink, you know, is promoting all this dumb stuff and using his power to make people do it. And it's dumb and it hurts society. No, Mark, it's not dumb. It's a post-industrial sabotage operation on their own admissions to break down society and create a post-industrial collapse. That's what their stated goal is in the WEF and UN Agenda 2030. I mean, damn it. You can go back to my shows 30 years ago, and I'm saying this all word for word because it's in the documents. Catherine Austin Fitch is coming on either the next few days or next week. She used to be the deputy head of HUD. She's an expert on this. So this is strategic precision warfare. They didn't accidentally create the setup to burn down L.A., and now it's official. 15-minute city, no one's allowed to rebuild their home. They're taking it and building high-rises for illegal aliens. I have the clip. UN directed. We have their ass. We've had their blueprint forever. But now, instead of just seeing how the foundations work and tracking their thousands of groups, you can just give it to AI and in 5 minutes it spits it out to you, and then you go spot check it in the federal records. It's dead on accurate. That's where AI comes in. And that's why they don't want the general public to have access to it. All right, here's just mapping the Chinese Progressive Association and what just one group being funneled into. This is just one to its 55,000. Here it is.
What you are looking at is the central nervous system of how the leftists use NGOs, non-governmental organizations, so that they are able to interfere in elections, to transform American culture, much of which is paid for by the American taxpayer. Now, what you are looking at has never been seen before because it can't be seen with conventional technology. Every dot you see here is an NGO that is tied to the Chinese Progressive Association. In the next few minutes, we're going to do that analysis. But let's go look at some of these outlying organizations. The Black Voters Matter Fund, $4 million, is funding all of these different organizations you see here. United Ballot, MIA Strategies, Mississippi Legislative Black Fund, Step Up Louisiana Organizing Fund, Abundant Life Ministries, Organizational Support Services. And here's another group, the National Domestic Workers Alliance. And who might they be funding? Well, let's go look. Arriba Las Vegas Workers Center. And here's a small group out here, the Fair Work Center. And who might they be funding? LGBTQ Allyship, Al-Nur Islamic Center, Somali Community Services of Seattle, Working Washington. Vote yes for work. So what we have just shown you is 1 year where the Chinese Progressive Association has given money to organizations in the United States, all of which is tax exempt. And those organizations gave the money to a second organization. And what you are seeing here, in 1 year, from one organization, are the thousands of interconnections, every one of which is to a leftist organization. In many cases, these organizations are getting taxpayer money. They are being funded by the United States government, and they are involved in activities that are antithetical to what America is trying to do. Well, now let's look at who gives money to the Chinese Progressive Association. So we go here, and here's our answer. The San Francisco Foundation, $750,000. The Sierra Health Foundation, East Bay Community, National Employment Law, Silicon Valley Foundation, which I recall is Mark Zuckerberg's group, Vanguard Charitable Endowment, Morgan Stanley Impact Fund,
and that's all BlackRock.
America Online, Tides Center, Mujeres Unidas, California Justice Fund, Power California Fund, the New Venture Fund, Rockefeller Philanthropy, the Tides Foundation, the American Civil Liberties Union. So you can see that the people connected to the Chinese Progressive Association, in terms of to whom the Chinese Progressive Association gives money, are leftist organizations. But when you look at the groups who give money to the Chinese Progressive Association, some of them are some of America's largest financial institutions. Now, this has all been hidden for years because current technology doesn't have the ability to demonstrate that. But now, with fractal quantum speed technology, we can show you every dollar going to every NGO, every dollar coming out of every NGO. We can show you every director, and if that director works at more than one NGOs, we can show you their telephone numbers, we can show you their addresses, and we can make a determination if any of those are common. And we will be doing that here on this website.
All right, I'm going to get Peter on the show. Very informative and dead on. I mean, I've researched it so much, I know a lot of those names. And he just had 55,000 dots to touch. He just touched a few for you and then went up to the motherships attacking. And they attack from the top and give corporate money. And they also direct the agencies that give most of the money and you wonder why we're in so much trouble.
Hello, and welcome to another broadcast of the Jim Benson Show, conservative news and commentary addressing the issues that concern you here on the BBS radio and television network. Those two video clips I just played are from the Alex Jones Show, January 28, which was broadcast on JonesInfoWars.com website and also on X.com. If you watch the full broadcast of the show, you'll see I played these segments in reverse order of their appearance on his show, but I thought my order of appearance provided better understanding of what was being presented for the purposes of my show. Due to an uproar, supposedly a nationwide uproar, partly caused by what I suspect was sabotage, that led to halting of the government's Medicaid, Medi-Cal payment portal or portals, and a lawsuit by what election integrity activist retired Air Force Lieutenant General Thomas McKinnerney calls the Communist Democrats, Trump rescinded the fund halting memo that same day, January 28. Communist globalist cheerleaders and dupes like the dim-witted Democrat New York Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, or is it Alessandra? Anyway, Cortez chortled that this was supposedly the first major defeat of the new Trump administration. Quote, when we fight, we win, close quote, gushed Cortez, more commonly known by her initials AOC. However, as usual, she is engaging in the communist left's trickery and propaganda antics. A Biden appointee federal judge, had issued a temporary restraining order against Trump's temporary freeze of all this funding pending review of these staggeringly large funding measures. Quote, this is not a rescission of the federal funding freeze, unquote, Trump administration press secretary Caroline Leavitt stated on X.com. Quote, it is simply a rescission of the OMB memo. That was a memo put out by the Office of Management and Budget. And continuing to quote, why? To end any confusion created by the court's injunction. And continuing, she said, the president's executive orders on federal funding remain in full force and effect and will be rigorously implemented. End quote. And then here's another quote from the Office of Management and Budget. The American people elected Donald J. Trump to be president of the United States and gave him a mandate to increase the impact of every federal taxpayer dollar in fiscal year 2024 of the nearly $10 trillion that the federal government spent. More than $3 trillion was federal financial assistance such as grants and loans. Close quote. A press release by the Federal Office of Management and Budget stated. So Trump's orders to halt the vast federal government funding, undoubtedly with yet more printed and borrowed money, will continue, as will the legal battles against it. But Trump is doing exactly what the electorate who put him back in the Oval Office wants, to put an end to this staggering and sickening taxpayer enabling of these monstrously evil programs, practices, and activities meant to utterly destroy America and you, the people. I'm still researching the matter, but it appears the shocking multiple trillions in funding for these programs and activities came from your tax dollars, and may have been exclusively, but I believe it was also included vast amounts of money donated by some of the country's largest corporations, which is a continual and standard practice for some reason. So I'm not sure, but that's what I believe. So through the trickery and lies of the evil, appallingly corrupt, and in my opinion, highly criminal Biden regime and those running it, we have been funding our own doom. And don't you think this money helps sway elections, empowering, electing, and keeping in office yet more of the communist Democrats and their allies, the Republicans in name only, or rhinos, they're called? You better believe it does. I've often wondered how left-wing radicals like Bill Gates, George Soros, and other leftist billionaires and millionaire of this class, the left-wingers, and their organizations are able to support and promote the vast array of leftist causes, yet hold on to their own immense wealth, which, enormous as it is, would quickly disappear with all the money being spent. Well, it seems that now we know. Our own tax dollars, and possibly many more from big corporations and businesses around the country, have been funding these frightening leftist globalist propaganda and influence operations. This and all the other things Trump and his administration have been doing in these first few days of his administration have been amazing, almost beyond description. But suffice it to say that we are now finally beginning to see the tide turning in the political war against our evil and appallingly corrupt opponents who relentlessly seek our utter destruction as a civilization. Many of the leftist globalist rabble promoting the end of America as we have known it may be too blindly greedy and stupid to realize that many of them will be severely affected, if not also destroyed, in the nightmare world they seek to create. But I have to think that a big part of the defeat of the Biden-Harris regime were millions of heretofore Democrat voters who also realized that continuing to support these monsters means their own enslavement as well. Now, as always, I am in no way advocating any violence or other illegality by expressing my opposition to the communist, globalist Democrats and their allied rhinos and supporters. This is not only morally wrong, illegal, and just plain stupid, but it plays into our opponents' hands to be used as powerful propaganda and grounds for lawfare against us all. So let's not do anything that would be wrong, illegal, or stupid. That being said, let's get on with today's videos. One of the shocking and sickening things that Joe Biden did before leaving office was the huge number, an unprecedented number, of wide-ranging pardons for any crimes that could be federally prosecuted for many members of his own family, the corrupt Congressional January 6th Committee, General Mark Milley, and so many others, including thousands of criminals convicted of heinous crimes. Here's a pretty good summary of these pardons, in my opinion, and insightful commentary on them by one of my favorite political observers, Zach DiGregorio, on his YouTube channel program, Wolves and Finance. This segment is from his show that appeared on YouTube January 26th and was commentary on Trump's first week in office. It seems Zach was earlier on his show, on this show, somewhat upset at some of the people attending Trump's inauguration, such as MMA stars, I believe it's called, mixed martial arts, a comedian, and Democrat U.S. Senator John Fetterman of Pennsylvania, who appeared in his usual hoodie and shorts rather than the formal attire so common at these events. I don't know how serious Zach was, but I got a good laugh out of his comments. Anyway, here are his comments about Biden's unprecedented pardon spree.
Speaking of pardons, I need to talk about the greatest tragedy of this week. Minutes before Joe Biden was about to leave office, he announced blanket pardons for Dr. Fauci, Mark Milley, the January 6th committee, including Liz Cheney, and the entire Biden family. Unbelievable. That means the American people cannot get a trial and cannot get to the truth of what these people have done. This is especially frustrating because if Joe Biden is pardoning them, that's a strong indication that they are guilty. You don't pardon someone if they are not guilty. It also suggests that these are the people in Joe Biden's inner circle. He would not have pardoned them unless they were working together. These are the people who plan to destroy America and steal the presidency. Think about it. Dr. Fauci stirred up chaos around the virus, justifying massive mail-in ballots that somehow didn't materialize the next election cycle. Mark Milley participated in setting up January 6th and then coordinated with the Chinese behind Donald Trump's back. Liz Cheney covered up everything with the fraudulent January 6th committee and then destroyed all the evidence. These are traitors who worked together to set everything up. And I was willing to suspend judgment until we had the trials, but since they've accepted the pardons, that means they have accepted guilt. Guilty, guilty, guilty. Now, January 6 prisoners have also been granted pardons, and some people don't want to accept them for this same issue. They don't want people to think they are guilty when they did nothing wrong. Let me just give a message to any January 6 prisoner. Don't feel bad for accepting a pardon. We know that you are not guilty. Most people recognize there's a distinct difference between the January 6 political prisoners and the criminals that Joe Biden pardoned. The difference is that the January 6 prisoners are normal people like you and me. They're everyday Americans. The people Joe Biden pardoned are some of the most powerful people in the world. That's the difference. That is what makes them guilty. Now, already, people like Alex Jones and Steve Bannon have said that Donald Trump should ignore the pardons and prosecute all these people anyway. I have done some research, and it appears to me that Joe Biden is within his rights. The Constitution gives the president very broad power to pardon people. If Trump goes to court to contest the pardon, I don't see any court overturning the pardons. We would just be wasting our time. Blanket pardons have been done before. After the Civil War, the president pardoned everyone involved so they could not be prosecuted for treason. It's obviously extremely unusual for Joe Biden to do this. If he wants to forgive his criminal buddies for treason, just like they did in the Civil War, that's his option. But it just shows how horribly corrupt the Democrat Party is. The whole Joe Biden presidency is defined by him intentionally breaking the law, hurting Americans, and then pardoning the people who committed crimes. Not only that, Joe Biden issued a blanket pardon for Michael Byrd, the police officer who killed Ashley Babbitt on January 6. This is excruciating to hear. This was a cop who shot an unarmed woman. He should be prosecuted for murder, but instead he's getting a pardon because the person he killed was a Trump supporter. Since this post went viral on social media, every major fact check website has released a fact check that claims this never happened. Factcheck.org says, "There is no evidence that Biden pardoned Byrd or that Byrd testified before the House committee on the January 6 attack. Byrd is not mentioned in the Select Committee's final report, and he isn't among those in the report's full list of committee witnesses." Well, factcheck.org, since you obviously did not do your homework, let me show you the evidence. Here is the pardon signed by Joe Biden that says it covers the police officers from the D.C. Metropolitan Police Department or the U.S. Capitol Police who testified before the Select Committee. Here is the January 6 report. Here is where it talks about Ashley Babbitt's shooting. And in the footnote, it references this press release about the January 6 investigation posted by the Department of Justice. Now, technically, the fact checkers are correct that this article and the report does not mention the name of Michael Byrd specifically. But of course, during the investigation, they are going to get the testimony of the shooter. Of course they are. They just didn't put his name in the press release because they were trying to keep it out of the press. So if Michael Byrd is ever charged with murder, you better believe he's going to claim that he is covered by this pardon. And the pardon is written broadly enough that it will probably stand up in court. These fact checkers should be ashamed of themselves for lying to everyone. I did not realize that Joe Biden was capable of this level of evil. This is just straight evil. Ashley Babbitt's mother will forever be denied her day in court to get justice for the death of her daughter. This just shows what a crook Joe Biden is and why I believe he is the worst president in the history of this country. Now, just to highlight how extreme these pardons are, here is a list of the number of pardons granted by the last four presidents. Joe Biden granted 8,000 pardons? What? He's only second to Barack Obama. Why are the Democrats trying so hard to let so many criminals out on the streets? It seems like the only people the Democrats are trying to put in prison are their political enemies. I don't know how anyone can look at this and not find it outrageous. But for some reason, the media has been ignoring Joe Biden's pardons and only focusing on Trump's pardons. Here's what Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene had to say.
I'm not doing this. This insane place up here and all of y'all's obsession with January 6th is absurd. Everybody outside of here is sick and fucking tired of it. I'm serious. And so Joe Biden pardons all these murderers and rapists and disgusting people. And then everybody up here has got their panties in a wad because J6ers got pardoned. Like people that walk through open doors. A lot of them walk through open doors. That's it. Everybody here is like, ah, J6. Seriously.
Marjorie Taylor Greene thinks the mainstream media should not get their panties in a wad. I have to say that I agree with her. There is a silver lining to Joe Biden's pardons. Did you notice any names that were missing from his list? Specifically, no one was pardoned who was involved with the weaponization of the justice system against Donald Trump. I think Joe Biden was pissed off they were not successful in putting Trump in jail, so he left them all exposed. I also think the Democrats actually want Donald Trump to fix the justice system. They don't want the Republicans to weaponize the system against themselves. By Joe Biden not including those people in the pardons, the Democrats are giving Donald Trump a green light to fix the justice system. Christopher Wray at the FBI did a lot of suspicious things. So did Merrick Garland at the Department of Justice. So did Judge Merchan in New York. Everyone involved should be prosecuted for conspiracy. And I think the Democrats are going to support it. Go, 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 Donald Trump. You have a green light. Let's fix the weaponization of the justice system. Do you know who else Joe Biden forgot to pardon? Nancy Pelosi, someone who was intimately involved in setting up January 6. If you think she's covered under the pardon for the January 6 committee, she is not. It was reported by The Hill. Asked during her weekly press conference if she has provided any testimony or documents to the investigative panel, Pelosi said no, adding, "I keep as far away from the committee as possible." Do you remember this quote?
Have dissuaded him from coming to Capitol Hill. They told him they don't have the resources to protect him here. So at the moment, he is not coming, but that could change.
Oh, he comes. I'm going to punch him out. This is my
mom. I would pay to see that.
I'm waiting for this, for trespassing on the Capitol grounds. I'm going to punch him out, and I'm going to go to jail, and I'm going to be happy.
I am sure Joe Biden is still pissed off at Nancy Pelosi for replacing him with Kamala Harris. This is payback. Joe Biden just gave Trump a green light to investigate Nancy Pelosi. So there you have it. Joe Biden is out, Donald Trump is in, and a new day is here.
Lastly on today's program, here is a somewhat lengthy video segment from another of my favorite political commentators and also a great thinker and historian, Argentina's president, Javier Milei, who is one of today's great champions of individual liberty and free markets. This is from Milei's speech on the, quote, cancer of wokeism, close quote, before an audience at the communist globalist-dominated World Economic Forum's 2025 annual meeting in Davos, Switzerland. I believe his speech was given on January 23.
Historic moments of change have a unique characteristic, the times when formulas that have been in place for decades become exhausted. The methods once considered the only way of doing things cease to make sense, and what to many seemed unquestionable truths is finally called into question. These are times when the rules get rewritten, and therefore these are times that reward those who have the courage to take risks. But much of the free world still prefers the comfort of what is familiar, even though it may be the wrong path, and they will insist on applying the recipes of failure. And the great burden that is the common denominator among the countries and institutions that are failing is the mental virus of woke ideology. This is the great epidemic of our time that must be cured. This is the cancer we need to get rid of. This ideology has colonized the world's most important institutions, from the political parties and governments of leading Western nations to global governance organizations, even NGOs, universities and media outlets. It has also set the tone of the global conversation over the past decades. Until we remove this abhorrent ideology from our culture, our institutions and our laws, Western civilization and even the human species will not be able to return to the path of progress demanded by our pioneering spirit. It is essential to break these ideological chains if we want to usher in a new golden age. That is why today I would like to take a few minutes to breaking those chains. But first, let's talk about what we're fighting for. The West represents the pinnacle of human achievement. On the fertile ground of its Greco-Roman heritage and Judeo-Christian values, the seeds of something unprecedented in history were sown. After definitively overcoming absolutism, liberalism inaugurated a new era in human existence, and within the new moral and philosophical framework which placed individual liberty above the whims of tyrants, the West was able to unleash man's creative capacity, initiating an unprecedented process of wealth generation. The data speaks for itself. Until the year 1800, the world's per capita GDP remained virtually constant. However, from the 19th century onwards, and thanks to the Industrial Revolution, per capita GDP multiplied by 20, lifting 90% of the global population out of poverty, even though the population itself increased eightfold. And this was only possible thanks to a convergence of fundamental values, respect for life, liberty, and property, which enabled free trade, freedom of speech, freedom of religion, and the other pillars of Western civilization. In addition, our inventive, Faustian, exploratory, pioneering spirit, which is constantly testing the limits of what is possible. And that's a pioneering spirit that today is represented, among others, by my dear friend Elon Musk, who has been unjustly vilified by the wokeism ideology in recent days for an innocent gesture that simply reflects his enthusiasm and gratitude towards people. In summary, we invented capitalism on the basis of saving, investment, labor, and reinvestment, and hard work. We got every worker to multiply tenfold, a hundredfold, or why not even a thousandfold their productivity, thus overcoming the Malthusian trap. Yet at some point in the 20th century, we lost our way, and the liberal principles that had made us free and prosperous were betrayed. A new political class, driven by collectivist ideologies and taking advantage of times of crisis, saw the perfect opportunity to accumulate power. All the wealth created by capitalism until then and into the future would be redistributed through some scheme of centralized planning, setting in motion a process whose disastrous consequences we are suffering today. By promoting a socialist agenda while insidiously operating within the liberal paradigm, this new political class distorted the values of liberalism. And so they replaced freedom with liberation, using the coercive power of the state to redistribute the wealth created by capitalism. Their justification was the sinister, unjust, and abhorrent idea of social justice, complemented by theoretical Marxist frameworks aimed at liberating individuals from their needs. And at the core of this new value system lies the fundamental premise that equality before the law is not enough, as hidden systemic injustices exist which must be rectified, an idea that serves as a goldmine for bureaucrats who aspire to omnipotence. And this is fundamentally what wokeism is about, the result of the reversal of Western values. Each of our civilization's pillars has been replaced by a distorted version of itself through various mechanisms of cultural subversion. negative rights to life, liberty, and property were transformed into an artificial and endless list of positive rights. First it was education, then housing, and from then on absurdities like access to the internet, televised football, theater, cosmetic treatments, and an endless number of other desires that were turned into fundamental human rights. Rights that, of course, someone has to pay for, and which can only be guaranteed through the infinite expansion of the abhorrent state. In other words, we move from the concept of freedom as the fundamental protection of the individual against the intervention of the tyrant to the concept of liberation through state intervention. On this foundation, wokeism was built, an ideology of monolithic thinking upheld by various institutions whose purpose is to penalize dissent. Feminism, diversity, inclusion, equity, immigration, abortion, environmentalism, gender ideology, among others, these are all various heads of the same beast, aimed at justifying the state's expansion through the appropriation and distortion of noble causes. Let us look at some of these. Radical feminism is a distortion of the concept of equality. Even in its most benevolent form, it is redundant, as equality before the law already exists in the West. Everything else is a quest for privileges, which is what radical feminism truly seeks, pitting half of the population against the other half when they should both be on the same side. We have even got to the point of normalizing the fact that in many supposedly civilized countries, if you kill a woman, it is called femicide, and this carries more serious punishment than if you kill a man, simply based on the sex of the victim, legally making a woman's life be worth more than that of a man. And that they carry the banner of the gender-based wage gap, but when you look at the data, it is clear that there is no inequality for the same work, but rather that most men tend to choose better-paying professions than most women. However, they don't complain about the fact that most prison inmates are men, or that most plumbers are men, or that most victims of robbery or murder are men, let alone the majority of people who have died in wars. But if you raise these points in the media, or even at this forum, you're considered a misogynist, simply for defending an elementary principle of modern democracy and the rule of law, which is equality before the law, and of course, defending the data as well. Wokeism also manifests in sinister radical environmentalism and the climate change agenda. Preserving our planet for future generations is a matter of common sense. No one wants to live in a landfill. But once again, wokeism has managed to pervert this fundamental idea. From preserving the environment for human enjoyment, we have shifted to a fanatical environmentalism, where we humans are seen as a cancer that must be eradicated, and economic development is considered little more than a crime against nature. And yet, when we argue that the Earth has already gone through five abrupt temperature change cycles, and that during four of those, man was not even around, we are called flat earthers in order to discredit our ideas, even though science and the data are on our side. It is no coincidence that these same groups are the main promoters of the bloody, murderous abortion agenda, an agenda designed on the basis of the Malthusian premise that overpopulation will destroy the earth, and that we must therefore implement some form of population control. In fact, this has been carried to such an extreme that today on Earth we start to see a population growth rate starting to look like a problem, and talk about a job they've done by promoting abortion. And these forums promote the LGBT agenda, attempting to impose the idea that women are men and men are women simply based on self-perception. And they say nothing about when a man dresses as a woman and kills his opponent in a boxing ring, or when a male prison inmate claims to be a woman and ends up sexually assaulting women in prison. In fact, just a few weeks ago, there were headlines around the world regarding the case of two gay Americans who championed the banners of sexual diversity and were sentenced to 100 years in prison for abusing and filming their adopted children for more than 2 years. I want to be clear. When I say abuse, this is no euphemism, because in its most extreme forms, gender ideology is outright child abuse. They are pedophiles. So I want to know who would support that kind of behavior. Healthy children are being irreversibly harmed through hormone treatments and mutilation, as if a five-year-old child could possibly consent to such things. And should their family not agree to this, there will always be state agents ready to step in favor of what they call the best interest of the child. And believe me, the scandalous experiments in the name of this criminal ideology will be condemned and likened to those committed in the darkest periods in our history. Uncovering this multitude of abhorrent practices is the eternal victimhood narrative, always ready to hurl accusations of homophobia, transphobia, and other fabricated terms, whose sole purpose is to silence those of us who dare to expose the scandal, one of which both national and international authorities are complicit. Meanwhile, in our businesses, public institutions, and educational establishments, merit has been cast aside in favor of the doctrine of diversity, which represents a regression to the aristocratic systems of the past. Quotas are invented for every minority politicians can come up with, which ends up undermining the excellence of institutions. Wokeism has also distorted the issue of immigration. The free movement of goods and people is a fundamental pillar of liberalism. We know this well. Argentina, the United States, and many other countries became great thanks to immigrants who left their homelands in search of new opportunities. However, we have shifted from attracting foreign talent to foster development to now embracing mass immigration driven not by national interest, but by guilt. Since the West is supposedly the root cause of all of the world's evils in history, it must redeem itself by opening its borders to everyone, which leads to a form of reverse colonization that resembles collective suicide. So this is how we now see images of hordes of immigrants who abuse, assault, or even kill European citizens whose only sin was not adhering to a particular religion. But when someone questions these situations, they're immediately labeled racist, xenophobic, or even Nazis. Wokeism has penetrated our societies so deeply, promoted by institutions like this one, that it has even led to questioning the very concept of biological sex through the disastrous influence of gender ideology, which has resulted in even greater state intervention through absurd legislation, such as the state having to fund expensive hormone treatments and surgeries to fulfill the self-perception of certain individuals. Only now are we beginning to see the effects of an entire generation that has mutilated their bodies, encouraged by a culture of sexual relativism. And these people will have to spend their entire lives in psychiatric treatment to cope with what they have done to themselves. Yet, no one dares to speak about these issues. Not only that, but the vast majority have also been subjected to the misguided self-perceptions of a tiny minority. And wokeism also seeks to hijack our future, because by dominating the faculties of the world's most prestigious universities, it is shaping the elites of our countries to reject and deny the culture, ideas, and values that made us great, further damaging our social fabric. What future do we have if we are teaching our young people to feel ashamed of our past? All of this was incubated and increasingly developed over the past decades after the fall of the Berlin Wall. Curious enough, free nations began to self-destruct when they no longer had adversaries to defeat. Peace made us weak. We were defeated by our own complacency. All these and other aberrations, which we can't enumerate due to time constraints, are the threats that today endanger the West. And unfortunately, these are the beliefs that institutions like this one have been promoting for 40 years. And no one here can feign innocence. For decades, there has been a worship of a sinister and murderous ideology, as if it were a golden calf, moving heaven and earth to impose it on humanity. And this organization, along with the most influential supranational bodies, have been the ideologues of this barbarity. Multilateral lending organizations have been instruments of extortion, while many national governments, and especially the European Union, have acted as their armed wing. Is it not true that right now, as we speak, in the UK, citizens are being imprisoned for exposing horrifying crimes committed by Muslim migrants, crimes that the government seeks to conceal? Or didn't the bureaucrats in Brussels suspend Romania's elections simply because they didn't like the party that had won? Faced with each of these discussions, wokeism's first strategy is to discredit those of us who challenge these things, first by labeling us and then by silencing us. If you're white, you must be racist. If you're a man, you must be a misogynist or part of the patriarchy. If you're rich, you must be a cruel capitalist. If you're heterosexual, you must be heteronormative, homophobic, or transphobic. For every challenge, they have a label. And then they try to suppress you by force or through legal means. Because beneath the rhetoric of diversity, democracy, and tolerance that they so often preach, what truly lies is their blatant desire to eliminate dissent, criticism, and ultimately freedom, so they can continue to uphold a model in which they are the...
Well, that's all for another show. As always, we hope you found today's content of interest and value. You can watch and or listen to a podcast of today's show when it's posted shortly here on the Jim Benson Show pages at bbsradio.com/The Jim Benson Show and elsewhere on the internet, including rumble.com, youtube.com, and Apple Podcasts. Watch for us again with another show 2 weeks from today in this same time slot, and have a great rest of your day and evening.